It's fairly, I hope, common knowledge that Indigenous Australian cultures are probably the oldest continuous cultures in the world. And we've seen some remarkable new archaeological discoveries in the top end. But here in Sydney, our southwest is traditional Dharawal country. It's an area rich in culture and history and provided coastal food, clothing and shelter for the first peoples of Sydney tens of thousands of years ago. Now, Shannon Foster is an artist, an educator and a Dharawal saltwater knowledge keeper. She's dedicated her professional life to teaching her family's stories and sharing fascinating knowledge with the local community. She's aiming to spread this knowledge of her ancestors and their important landmarks even further through her PhD project titled The Living Dreaming. Shannon, a very good morning to you.
Thank you, Nick. A very good morning to you too.
Well, welcome to breakfast. Now, I've got to say, just to start off with, what does the title saltwater knowledge keeper actually entail?
Okay, so a saltwater knowledge keeper, we have saltwater people, bitter water peoples, which is the brackish water between the ocean and the freshwater lands. And then we have the freshwater people, sweet water, which is drinking water. So saltwater people are, we're coastal people from down in the La Perouse region and Botany Bay and along Tukura, George's River. And a knowledge keeper is somebody who I've been gathering knowledge or holding on to all the knowledges of my family, because our elders are now, you know, elders. And they shouldn't have to be pushed and pulled in every direction. So I'm kind of, you know, carrying the torch for them as much as I can and learning everything that I possibly can in order to pass that information on now to further generations.
And is this a traditional role that you're applying a more modern context to?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It depends on what you, I guess, how you interpret the word in traditional. But yes, definitely it's a knowledge keeper is somebody who does look after the knowledges, and we did have knowledge keepers traditionally pre-1788. So we do carry that tradition on into the future now, into the contemporary times.
And how much of Dharawal teachings are still around? How much, you know, what are the gaps in our knowledge there?
Well, to be honest, we have a really, really rich, diverse and very complex range of knowledges from our old stories, our Wadaguru stories and our Garawonga stories, which are, there's a combination of lore and old stories. And now I'm working with our Narinja stories, which are our living stories. So the stories of the elders that are around now and all of our people that are here now. So it's actually far more complex and far more in-depth and diverse than what most people would expect from the Sydney region.
What about language-wise?
We do have a very, very good, strong body of language.
Fantastic.
We were very lucky that one of my aunties was passed on over 100 stories written in the original Dharawal Bidigal language from her mother. So she spent her life interpreting those and translating them and writing up the stories and working out all of the language. So there's going to be a dictionary shortly online. So we do have a very, very strong base for language.
And so it sounds to me like a great deal of this has been a very, very personal family project for you as well. These are familial learnings.
Yeah, absolutely, without a doubt. And I think that's really important, obviously, within Indigenous cultures, is that we work within our families and we represent our entire family. When we come out and teach and when we talk on behalf of our knowledges, we're actually representing our whole family and our whole community.
How important is it to bring this sort of site-specific knowledge back to Sydney to make sure that we are aware of this?
So important.
Yeah.
Throughout time since 1788, we've heard everything from, you know, the at best patriarchal stories, protectionist stories of Aboriginal people, especially the Dharawal here in Sydney. And I've even been told that we're extinct.
What?
Yeah, I know.
What?
And I'm like, wow, really? So we've sort of been either silenced, erased, or kind of swallowed up by other Indigenous cultures, which I'm not against any Indigenous cultures, but we are still here. And we've not just survived, we've thrived.
Thrived indeed, if you've got that sort of an online dictionary coming on board when so much language knowledge has been lost to us.
Yeah.
It's actually quite amazing. That must have been a project and a half to be working with.
Oh, my auntie's an amazing, amazing person, and she has an amazing brain, and I'm only, you know, I live in her shadow. She's a fantastic woman. So.
Now, what is kind of unique about Dharawal culture compared to some of the other Indigenous groups that we see in the Sydney area?
Yeah, well, we're very fortunate still. We're obviously here at the point of contact, but we're very fortunate to have a strong continuous line back to pre-1788. So that is one particular area which is really strong with the Dharawal of Sydney. Other clans and other families may have been completely either disconnected or don't have, for want of better words, that written knowledge or that documented knowledge. So we're very lucky in that regard.
Now, back to your PhD and what you've been doing. You actually just won a three-minute thesis competition. How do you condense that to 3 minutes?
With great difficulty. Every day they're asking us to write 10,000 words, and then all of a sudden you do have to condense it to 3 minutes. But I wanted to really embody the storytelling process, because storytelling is very important to us. So my main section of that three-minute thesis was telling a modern story of my great-grandfather and how our knowledges have passed through to me here today. And I just condense it really, really quickly. I've got three main points. One, too many people have been telling our stories except for us.
Yep.
Number two, we have to document these stories so that they can continue on. Number three, for our emerging generations and our the connection to culture for younger generations now has proven to be so incredibly important for well-being and good outcomes for our young ones. So it's really important. So they're my three main.
And they're obviously the themes for your longer PhD.
That's
when
right.
You say living dreaming, it sounds very much that connection to younger community members sounds essential. Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely essential. There's knowledge is nothing until it's shared. And we really need to make sure that our young ones are strong and that they're strong in culture and knowledge and our connections to that younger community, and make sure that this lives on. There's no point in me knowing it if there's no one after me to carry that on.
Shannon Foster, absolutely fascinating. Cannot wait to see that PhD come through. Thank you for chatting to breakfast this morning.
Thank you so much for having us.